Thanks, Jeff. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and we'll be beginning in the beginning. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drank, and afterwards you can eat and drink'? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what is our duty to do.'" And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, I pray that this would be a day of change, that this would be a day of coming closer to you, that this would be a day, Father, of deciding to follow you completely. Thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is to come. He knows he's going to go to the cross. He knows that he will go through the tomb. He knows he will rise again, and he knows he will ascend into glory, and the disciples will be left here to carry out the message, to carry out their purpose and to change a world. And so he challenges them to get ready. In chapter 15, he reveals how much he cares for those that do not know him. He talks about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And in doing so, he's telling his disciples there are many that are lost, and his desire is to find them. In each of those stories, the commonality is there was searching until that lost item was found or that lost person was found. If you are listening and you are lost, you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul. You've never allowed him to forgive you and apply what he did on Calvary to your life. Then I want you to know Jesus is searching for you. And he will do everything possible to try to find you and draw you to himself. In fact, that's what he is going to do in this very hour. He wants you to know him. He does not want any to perish. He doesn't want anybody to spend time away from him. If you have Jesus, you've already received Jesus. That's a great thing. Understand that God put warnings in the scripture. He gave a warning of the rich man who died and woke up in the fires of hell. What a terrible warning that was. He let it be true. He let it not be known that it is true that if you die in your sins, that is, you die without Jesus as your Savior, there is quite literally hell to pay. This same Jesus that loved more than anyone, who is love, brought a message that let us know that there was truly a place of damnation that people will go after they die if they die in their sin, if they die without Jesus as their Savior. It is a reality. He's challenging each of us Now, why would that matter to those who are saved, that people that are lost will go to such a place? Well, Jesus wants us to be aware that we have a purpose. Our job is to turn lives away from that horrible existence. We have the opportunity to share a message that can change lives and hearts and move people away from an eternal hell. Now, isn't that something worth living for? Isn't that something we should be about? As Jesus is challenging, he tells truths, and he tells the truth that we have a purpose as believers, and our purpose is like his purpose. He came to seek and to save the lost. We are to seek and to save the lost. Jesus offers an opportunity to escape hell and spend eternity in heaven. We who know him can do no less. We need to share that opportunity. If a lost person will not accept the truths of God's word, and they won't accept your witness or mine, then you need to understand they wouldn't accept anybody's witness. They would not accept a witness of somebody they knew to be dead that came back from the dead and told them the truth. You do know that Jesus came back from the dead. You do know that Jesus was seen by over 500. The proof that Jesus brought should be enough for anybody to come to salvation. Once you come into God's family, it's important that you realize you're not there alone. You know, one of the things that we have heard all through the pandemic is we just want to see one another again. We want to be able to see each other's faces again. We want to be able to be in the same room with one another again. Well, praise the Lord, we're not all together there, but we're getting there. We need to be together. I had a football coach back in eons past. Yes, I played football. And yes, I played football when you wore a helmet. I had a coach that believed in conditioning. He thought that, you might not be better than the other team, but you should be at least better conditioned than the other team. And so he liked to run a lot. And he had these exercises that were totally exhausting. And he had these things that he wanted you to do, and he wanted you to do it to his standard. I can tell you, if you got through one of the drills and you did it to his standard and you knew you had accomplished that, it was a great feeling. But if we had one person on our team not meet his standard, we all had to run. Because one fell short, we all had to step up. He taught us a very valuable lesson that we are responsible for one another. This is the lesson that Jesus wants us to learn as believers. We are responsible for one another. We need to be taking care of one another. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to be picking up one another. We need to be ministering to one another. We need to minister to those that are lost, absolutely, but let me tell you, we need to reach out to those that are saved. And everyone at some point needs a word of encouragement. I know many of you like to use your cell phone. Some of you actually talk on them. But could you use it starting now this week a little bit more to be an encouragement to another believer? To help lift up another believer, to help another believer stand. Jesus shares some permanent facts. In 17:1, then said he to his disciples, "It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe to him through whom they come." He says, believers, get ready. You're going to be offended. You're going to have offenses come into your life. You're going to have things come against you. If you're a believer, you know Jesus as your Savior. I know we're supposed to tell everybody it is just pie in the sky till you die by and by, and then it's just glory from there on. But the truth is, in this world, there are difficulties, and in this world, there will be offenses. We know all things are possible with God. In Luke 1:37, he says, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." In Mark 10:27, he says, "With men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible." We have a God who has the power to form the world out of nothing. We have a God that has breathed life into our bodies, and he is responsible for every living thing. Jesus demonstrated his power to heal the sick, to raise the lame, to make the blind see, and even to come back from the dead. With all that power and ability, God has decided to allow sin to have results, and at least one of those results is, believers, you will have offenses come into your lives. Note, he doesn't say you may have offenses. He doesn't say some of you may have offenses. He says clearly and distinctly, offenses will come. That means you're going to have all kinds of trials come into your life. You're going to have problems come into your life. You're going to have difficulties in your life. Yeah, I know, I'm supposed to tell you, it's just all butterflies and roses. But in truth, Jesus wants us to know we are in a real world, and the real world is full of sin, and sin has consequences, and sin hurts. And sometimes that sin is going to hurt us. If God chooses to allow those offenses to come into our lives, be assured he will give us a way to stand. These offenses can be temptations to sin. There are going to be temptations to sin in your life. They just will be. It is a fact. But temptations that come into your life to sin do not come from God. And offenses that come into your life do not come from God. James 1:13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted, neither tempts he any man." God wants you to be ready, though, when those temptations come. Know that just because you're tempted does not mean that you have to sin. Know this, no one can make you sin. Nobody can. I know we like to blame things on other people, but nobody can make you sin. There used to be a pat thing people would say if they were ever caught in sin. They would just say, "Well, the devil made me do it." There used to be a comedian by the name of Flip Wilson. Some of you may be old enough to remember Flip. Flip had a character called Geraldine. And he told the story about Geraldine and her friend deciding that they weren't going to spend anything, but they were going to go looking at stores. And so Geraldine went looking, and she saw a dress that she liked, but you know, she didn't, knew she couldn't really afford it, didn't need to buy it. God didn't want her to buy it. But she said the devil just kind of tempted her that you sure would look good in that dress. And Geraldine said, she thought it couldn't do much harm just to try it on, and she tried it on, and the devil told her, "You really do look good in that dress." Well, she bought the dress, she got home, and her friend couldn't believe that she'd bought the dress. They decided she wasn't going to buy anything. She bought the dress. "Why'd you do it, Geraldine?" "Well, the devil made me do it." "What do you mean the devil made you do it?" "Well, I was in the store, and the devil told me I could try it on. It would, you know, it'd be okay, and just to try it on, and so I tried it on, and the devil said, 'You sure do look good in that dress.' And I looked in the mirror, and I did look good in that dress." And her friend said, well, Geraldine, didn't you tell the devil to get behind you? She said, well, yes, I did. And he said it looked good back there too. The devil cannot make you sin. You know, I would like to blame everything on the devil, but the reality is, if you sin or if I sin, the plain hard truth is we only sin because we decide to. We choose to do it against God's will. So the fact is, offenses are going to come into your life. God will not cause them. God will give you a way to deal with them. And if you will stand with God, you will not have to fall. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, I hear people say a lot, God's not going to put anything on you that you just can't bear. May I tell you the truth? God doesn't put stuff on you. God doesn't put temptations in your way. God is not trying to bring you down. But things do come into our lives, and you just want to know the truth, it's all more than we can bear on our own. There are many things in this world that are too heavy for you to carry. But if you will trust the Lord, if you will put faith in Him, if you will walk according to His will, He will give us what we need to be faithful. These are facts, truths that you can rely on, but there are more facts than just these. In verses 1 and 2, woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and be cast into the sea than he should be offended for one of these, offend one of these little ones. It's horrible when you commit a sin against a holy God. It truly breaks my heart to be honest with you and say, I know that I have sinned resulting in the death of Jesus on the cross. I wish I had never sinned a moment in my life, but my sin caused Jesus to have to die. Because of my sin, Jesus suffered separation from the Father. But you know, it can get worse. My sin or your sin could lead someone else to sin. And it not only be my fall, but I could cause others to fall. In Jesus' day, they would cut a huge round stone. It'd have a hole in the middle of it. And they'd use oxen to pull that stone around, crushing wheat. It was called a millstone. Now, some were a little smaller. Some were great, huge. They were all very heavy. But the scripture is very clear. Jesus says, it's a fact, it would be better for you to have a millstone placed around your neck and you be thrown into the sea than for you to lead a child into sinful situations. In our perverse world, we have individuals that abuse children. God has dealt with that and will deal with that. God says, if you hurt a child, you should have a millstone thrown around your neck. It'd be better for you to have a millstone put around your neck and you'd be cast into the sea. We have wicked people who put young people in bondage. We are hearing about sex trafficking and human trafficking all the time. And you know, they talk about it at the border. Let me tell you, it's not just at the border. It's right here in Columbus, Georgia. We have lives that are being stolen. We have people that are being put in unthinkable positions right here in Columbus, Georgia. Others involve young people in drug use and pull them into an addict's world. But that's not the only vice. Some set a pattern for young people to get involved in drinking alcohol, and the alcohol brings them down a dark road, and they lose themselves in that way. It's a fact. God has a judgment for people that harm children. Now, I am not saying a believer can lose their salvation. No. I am saying that anyone that acts against God has judgment for that act against God, and there is a judgment for those who hurt children. The Bible teaches there are other types of sin you can bring into others' lives. Anger, pride, bitterness, gossip, prejudice. Paul warns us in Ephesians 6:4, "Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The word used for offend in this passage is from the Greek skandalon. It's the word we get our word scandalous from. It means to bait a trap or to be a stumbling block. Believer, please do not live in such a way that you trip other people up in their lives. I regret my sin. But even more than the thought of regretting my sin against God, I regret the thought that my sin might hurt someone else and lead them to sin against God. Understand that causing others to sin will bring judgment into your own life in this world. Permanent facts. Let's go on. Jesus shares plan forgiveness. Praise God for that. Verse 3, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." There is a standing rule for every Christian. I want you to have this very much burned into your mind. Every believer is to forgive everything, every time. Did you get that? Every believer is to forgive everything or anything every time. That's what God says. Remember, Jesus went to the cross to pay for your sin and for my sin to be forgiven. We need to actually plan to forgive. We need to determine in our hearts we're going to forgive no matter what comes. Yeah, but you don't know what people might do to you. I don't care. God says we're supposed to forgive. That's how God treats us. When Jesus went to Calvary's cross, think about this. When Jesus died on that cross, you know he died for our sins, right? Amen? Just want to make sure you're still there. At the point that he died on that cross for your sin, how many sins had you committed? Not a single one. You weren't on the planet. You know what that means? That means God planned for the way to forgive you before you breathed your first breath. God determined he would make a way for you to be forgiven of all things through your life before you were even on the planet. That means as God planned, he wants his children to plan, we should determine we are going to forgive. In this passage, we're told that if a brother or a fellow Christian sin against you, we're to comfort the offending party, and if they repent, we're to forgive. The number of times a person sins against you is not the issue. Well, I know you've heard it. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Whether somebody offends you once, twice, a dozen times, 100 times, 1,000 times, you're to forgive. How many times have you honestly sinned against God, committed the exact same sin against God, and do you expect God to forgive you? Even though you keep on sinning, do you expect God to still forgive you? May I tell you, that's the kind of God I have. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to be able to forgive all. And God expects his children to follow his pattern. It will be much better for you if you determine from the outset, if you determine before anything happens, I'm going to be a forgiver. Now, you will be tested on that. But when you're tested, you need to be a forgiver. Verse 4, and if he trespassed seven times in a day, turns again to you and says, I repent, you shall forgive. Hey, this is not saying keep score. Get to the eighth time, hit him with a baseball bat. That's not what it's saying. Remember, Peter said, how often, Lord, should I forgive? Seven times? Now, Peter said seven times, not because he was counting up and hoping to clobber somebody on the eighth time. Seven in Hebrew, seven in their world was a complete number. Should I forgive completely? And Jesus said, not just seven times, but 70 times seven. Seven's a complete number, 10's a complete number, 70 times seven, a very complete number. He just said all the time, every time there is an offense, there should be forgiveness. And where this passage speaks of Christians, it's Christians that repent and Christians that need to forgive. Listen, it tells us how we should act. If we are the offended party, and somebody comes to us and they let us know that we have offended, I mean, if somebody comes to us, we're the offending party, and lets us know we've offended them, we should ask forgiveness. We should be willing to repent. We should be willing to say that we are sorry and turn from that. However, I want you to know that in other passages that deal with this same thing, it does not. They do not hinge on whether a person asks for forgiveness or not. And so what the Bible principle is you forgive every time whether anybody asks you to forgive or not. And I will remind you, you didn't ask Jesus to go to the cross to make it possible for you to be forgiven. And yet he did so. So for a Christian, if you are the offending party, you should always repent. If you are the offended party, and sometimes you will be, both of these, if you're the offended party, you should always forgive. Praise God, with all the judgments of that Jesus told us and the permanent facts, one of the permanent things God does is forgive. And then Jesus shares a practice faith in verse 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. The scripture teaches us there's a way to increase your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to be where the word of God is taught. Hey, you're here. That is great. I hope you were in Sunday school. That's another opportunity. Hope you'll be with us on Wednesday nights. We have opportunities for you to hear God's word. You need to take time to get God's word into you. Hearing God's word, putting it into your life, putting it into practice in your life, build your faith. And as your faith grows, you're able to handle things better. Faith is strengthened when we apply God's word in our daily lives. In Jesus, we are told if we just say we have faith but do not follow the Lord in faith in our actions, our faith is useless. We need to practice our faith. We need to practice believing God. We need to practice trusting God. You know how some people trust God through the most horrible situations? Because they have already trusted God, been faithful through other difficult situations. Trusting him today will strengthen you that you may trust him tomorrow. We need to put our faith into action. In this passage, putting our faith into action means that we'll seek not to be a stumbling block for others. We will forgive everyone every transgression and be willing to repent if we find that we have offended anybody. We will trust the Lord, we will apply His Word to our lives, and we will start actually sharing our faith, giving a witness so that lost people might not go to hell. Listen, don't obey God because you're expecting some award. You know, I'll do these things and then I'll get to walk on golden streets. No. Listen, you do what God tells you to do because He is God and you believe in Him. And we start following Him and allow Him to work in our lives. And when we mess up, we go to God and He is willing to forgive. And I know the devil will tell some of you, the devil has told me before, no, God's not going to forgive you. You don't take advice from the devil. No matter how good he tells you look in a dress. You trust the Lord and you put your faith in Him and you understand He has said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My God is not a liar. If you come to Him seeking forgiveness, you will be forgiven. Psalms 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is in my heart. Believer, today, would you determine that you're going to try to live out your faith? That you're going to trust the Lord? That when you've been offended, when bad things have come into your life, and maybe you're dealing with those things right now, that you're not going to start a grudge factory, you're not going to start a list to punish, you are going to forgive. And you're going to apply God's word and trust His will and trust what He would lead you to do to give you victory in your situation. To have a life that is blessed, all you have to do is follow Jesus. And that starts by knowing Jesus. And if you've never met Jesus, this is the moment. In the room, in just a moment, we'll give you an opportunity to come and just say, I want Jesus. Maybe you would want to come and just kneel at the altar and pray for others, and you can do that or pray for your own situation. Believers, maybe you need to lift up someone else, or maybe you just want to come and rededicate your own life to the Lord, or maybe you want to do that where you are. We need to put Jesus first. We need to start living like we're a believer. When we show the world, Jesus is real, His love is real, His forgiveness is real. His power is real. Oh, believer, heaven is real. And what a great day it will be when all believers get to come together again in glory. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, I ask that you would move within our hearts. Father, for those that have never received Jesus, that this would be the moment that you would give them the courage to just step forward, Father, in the room and say, I want Jesus. Or Father, online, let them pray and invite Jesus to come into their heart and then let others know that they've made that decision. Father, guide us now to decisions. Let believers, Father, rededicate lives and let this be a day of putting our faith in practice. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do as a result of decisions made right now. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would you come?
hands, humbly I bow. Have thine own way.